When the servers go down, we'll tell you what's up. You're listening to Realm Maintenance.
The following is part of a six-episode series known as Yearly Maintenance 2019. At the end of each podcast spotlight interview in 2019, I asked my guests some additional questions for this series. Some of those questions are predictions, while others reveal their first Blizzard game, a show they would recommend to others to check out, and a hidden pitfall with podcasting or other content creation that prevents people from succeeding. In addition to these questions, I gave each guest the opportunity to come up with the first question that I would ask the next guest, and these questions can be very, very random. I do hope you enjoy this bonus content, and now, on with the show. All right, with me right now for this segment of Yearly Maintenance is Jin. He is the host of Morally Gray, a lore podcast for World of Warcraft. And Jin, it's time for you to answer the questions that have just been put to me by the hosts of Low Team Damage. Robbie asked, there are more games in development now than there ever has been in Blizzard. Does it worry you that Blizzard is being pushed to put out more games more frequently? How much do you think that could affect the quality of what comes out?
Wow, that's a toughie. Well, let me think about that. I would actually say no, I'm not concerned. Primarily because, I actually think based on the growth of Blizzard Activision as a whole in terms of their actual development teams, I mean, I know there's some weird stuff that happened during this past year for some of the other teams, PR and whatnot. Mm-hmm. But I do think that with the growth of their actual dev teams and the amount of quality products that they're able to put out over the, I wouldn't actually say there's a huge number of quality products that they put out, but the ones that they do put out, I will say, are always quality. So. Because I do think that's the one thing that Blizzard has going for them that really no other development company has, is that kind of brand, loyalty, in terms of that when they put something out, it's going to be good. So yeah, that's my take on it.
All right, and then his co-host also had a question. Norris asked, "When are y'all going to get over whining about Diablo Eternal?" Were you one of those whining about Diablo Eternal, and if so, when are you going to get over it?
I would say, I believe it was actually Diablo Immortal was the actual
name. Immortal, I'm sorry. I'm the one who said Eternal, but he said Diablo on mobile or whatever, so that was me. But
yeah, no, I would actually say no, I didn't whine one bit about it. Didn't write a single thing about it on social media. Didn't care one way or the other, because, hey, it's a game. If you like it, you should play it. If you don't like it, don't play it. That simple.
Yeah. And not all mobile games are inherently evil money-grabbing machines, although I'm sure that there will be microtransactions in the Diablo game. You can choose to play them or don't, and just like Hearthstone, you can choose to buy packs or just use gold. All that's ultimately up to you. If you don't enjoy the game, you won't play it. If you enjoy the game, you'll play it. All right. Moving on to prediction questions. Now, I know on Morally Gray, you guys never speculate and make predictions, so I'm giving you your chance to make predictions that are sure to go wrong right here, right now, and we'll see what people think of your predictions listening to this at the end of the year in December. Since the show's called Morally Gray, I cannot avoid talking about Sylvanas Windrunner. What do you think will be the fate of the Horde's current war chief by the end of the year?
By the end of the year?
Yes. So pretty much 8.3, we won't necessarily know if that's the end of the expansion or not, but I would imagine we'll see an 8.3 by the end of the year.
Okay, so by the end of the year, I'm going to say she's going to be right there on the throne as war chief. But by the end of the expansion, I'll go ahead and make a prediction and say that she is no longer war chief, but she is alive and, I don't know if she's going to be well, but she's alive-ish, because she's not technically alive right now either. But I don't really know exactly what she's going to be doing, but I know that there's going to be her and her Sylvanas loyalists that are going to be off and doing some things in the shadows, kind of like how she was doing back in the day before she was Warchief.
Yeah, I think she's going to definitely be a presence. I don't know if she's even going to be a part of the Horde necessarily. I feel like the Forsaken are going to get a new leader, but Sylvanas will still be a presence and a power to be reckoned with in the story of Warcraft, and what role that takes kind of remains to be seen. This stuff with the dagger, man, I feel there's things with that we don't know that will be revealed, and I think a lot of it has to do with that dagger, and I think she'll still be wielding that dagger by the end of the expansion.
Oh, I totally agree. I think she is going to be... I honestly think she's actually trying to do her best to defeat N'Zoth. Like, I think that's what she's actually trying to do, and she's
bend N'Zoth to her will, perhaps capturing N'Zoth in the Blade. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, that's probably what her ultimate goal is. Is, I mean, I think she likes Azeroth because that's her home. So she, you know, she doesn't want it fall into pieces, because that means she goes, well, effectively to hell.
Right.
That's what happened to her. So yeah, I think she wants to keep it nice and tidy and just everything the way that she wants it to be. So yeah, she wants to stop N'Zoth and all his evil machinations and plans and whatnot. And yeah.
All right. Well, I think the odds of finding out the theme and the name of the next expansion at BlizzCon are pretty dang high, unless they pull a big surprise on us with that. So let's assume the new expansion is announced at BlizzCon 2019. What do you think it is, and where do you think we're going?
I definitely think it's going to be some type of Old God-related expansion. I think there's going to be some type of, you know, resurgence of the Black Empire, possibly. Because, I mean, yeah, we've fought the Old Gods, we've tried to deal with them, but they're still around. You can't really kill them. So that's what I think is going to happen.
Do you think it'll be a cataclysmic-like event where, like, a whole large portion of the world is irreversibly changed? Or do you think that our battle with the Old Gods takes place in new zones we haven't seen before?
I think it's going to be I wouldn't say irreversibly changed. I think it's going to have the Silithus treatment of you go over and talk to the Bronze Dragonflight.
Sure. hey Midormi, how was it like back in the day?
Yeah, I think that's what it's going to be. I honestly think there's going to be huge swaths of the Azeroth that are like Black Empire-ified.
Mm-hmm. I would have no problem with them doing that to Desolus.
Me coming from the lore, I don't think that there's any Old Gods over there in Desolus.
Sorry. No. I mean, the closest one would be C'Thun, I guess.
Yeah,
and he'd have to do a bit of traveling for that.
Yeah, but, you know, I'm actually really, I'm really hoping that my prediction is true. And the only reason why is because I want to go back to Northrend. Because, yeah, that would be awesome to see Yogg-Saron again.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Not just Yogg-Saron, but you see, I feel that the next expansion is going to be Old God related, but not necessarily in the way we think. I keep on thinking that the Infinite Dragonflight is going to be the main antagonist of the next expansion.
Yeah, I think my main, you know, clue to why it's going to be some type of Old God related is what happened to Xalatath. You know, when she stepped through that void portal after, you know, N'Zoth set her free, that's where I'm like, oh yeah, something's going to happen.
That may very well be the case. Like I said, when it is announced at BlizzCon, and I am almost sure it will be, we will see how right or wrong we are on that. The last prediction question for you: will Blizzard announce how many people played or tried WoW Classic this year? And if they do, what do you think that number will be?
You know, I want to say yes. I really want to say yes, but I don't think they will. So my answer is going to be no, they won't. But I'm going to pretend I said yes. And I'm going to say it would roughly be 7 million people. Because, yeah, I think a lot of people are going to try Classic.
That number doesn't seem out of question. I personally think it's high, but I could also see that happening. I mean, when I say even tried WoW Classic, I mean, if they even downloaded the Classic client and played it for a day, I'd consider that trying it. So do I think that at least 7 million people might do that? I don't think that's unreasonable to say, especially when you consider that WoW at its peak had, what, 13 million, 14 million players?
Right. That's kind of where I was going.
Yeah.
That was the basis of my guess. But I personally agree. Yeah, that seems a little high, but, you know, I'm not going by Price is Right rule.
Sure. All right. Well, on to our questions that I'm asking everyone here. First off, and I think this will be an interesting one, considering what you talked about in our earlier interview. What was your first experience with a game made by Blizzard Entertainment?
First experience made by Blizzard Entertainment would be Warcraft 2. That was
Tides of Darkness. Okay.
Yeah. Yeah. I was playing that with my best friend growing up. And I think I racked up a $90 phone bill trying to do playing Gardens of War over the modem.
Wow. $90 phone bill. That's crazy.
Yeah, it wasn't great. And then we learned my dad had a toll-free number that we were able to skirt the bill.
Nice. Now, how many discs was Tides of Darkness? Do you even remember? I don't think I played Tides.
How many discs was it?
Yeah.
No, that was just one disc to install that one.
Okay. So that was modern enough that you didn't need multiple discs. You see, I remember the old days of gaming, games like, you know, some of the older like Ultimate games and stuff like that, where you'd have to put in multiple discs to install all the information because it was that big a game.
Yeah, the first game for me that had multiple discs was Baldur's Gate, the original mm-hmm. Baldur's Gate. That one had 5 discs.
Yeah. You know,
Warcraft 2 only had one disc, but if you never played it originally, and I don't even know if you know this, but you could actually pop the game CD into a music CD or like in a CD player and play all the music like it was a soundtrack.
I had no idea.
And there was actually a hidden song at the end. There was actually an Easter egg.
Huh.
Yeah. So I'll go. You should totally look this up.
Sure.
There, Ro.
Yes.
The song was, and you can look it up on YouTube, is I'm a Medieval Man. And it was a human footman singing, I'm a medieval man. It's the funniest crap. You got to look it up. And yeah, it's great.
I'm definitely looking that up when we're done here. Awesome. All right. Next question. What do you feel is one hidden pitfall with podcasting or just content creation in general that prevents people from succeeding?
Technical stuff.
As you and I can attest to when it comes to the earlier interview earlier in the year, for people who may not be aware, if it sounded a little different from what you're used to with interviews, I had to use my backup recording for that because Zencastr decided to be a prick.
Yeah, you know, it works 99 times out of 100. Well, I happen to be that one.
That one out of 100, I jinxed myself, and there's no doubt about that. Yeah, technical stuff can get you when you least expect it, or when you will it to happen through sheer reverse psychology. What podcast would you recommend to my listeners to check out besides ones that you're involved in? And this can be related to WoW gaming or even outside of gaming.
Oh, crap. I listen to a lot of podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
Shoot, which one would I recommend? You know, I would honestly have to say one of my favorite podcasts I listen to, and you check it out if you want to. It is called Opening Arguments.
Is that a debate podcast then?
It is a law podcast where it is a real life lawyer and then a goofy kind of person like me who is not a lawyer. And they just ask a bunch of questions and they explain how the law works. It's a very good podcast. I would highly recommend.
Kind of giving that whole education and the entertainment vibe that you tried to do on Morally Gray there.
Yeah, I kind of ripped that off from him. Yeah.
Okay. Hey, fair enough. It's my show grabs bits and pieces and inspiration from a number of different podcasts in different places. So I totally get that. The last question I have for you, of course, the most important one, because it helps starts off the next segment. What question should I ask my next guest?
I've been thinking about this, and I think I'm going to go ahead and go with a real simple one.
Sure.
Is Sylvanas evil?
Oh, okay. Now I need to make sure that I have John Jagger on as the next guest on Real Maintenance. No, I kid. thank you very much, Jen. I appreciate it.
Yeah, thanks. It was a lot of fun.
With me right now is Manny from Fort Azeroth. Jen from the Morally Gray podcast asks a very simple question. Is Sylvanas evil?
Wow, what a loaded question. Okay, so is Sylvanas evil? No, Sylvanas is not evil. Is she absolutely morally bankrupt? Yes, she is. Does her thing by any means necessary, and as long as it's for the greater good, then it's justified. The ends justify the means.
So if she were a D&D alignment, you would say she's what? Chaotic neutral?
I believe that she is actually true neutral, because she is pushing for the order as war chief. So she's not truly chaotic.
Hmm. Yeah, maybe lawful neutral?
Yeah.
It's weird.
Yeah, it's a weird place to think of her as like a dark thing. But no, she hasn't been trying to like destroy everything. She has been singularly focused on one mission.
She has a plan.
Yeah, and she always has a plan. She's always scheming and working angles.
I'm still really curious about this plan with the dagger and why she gave it to Nathanos. It's like, I have questions about these things. It's like, okay, this dagger is important. So why is Nathanos taking the dagger into Nag Hittar in the first place? And or was he even going to Nag Hittar? And there are missing pieces to this puzzle that I'm sure by the time people are listening to this in December, we'll have some of those pieces filled in. But I've got to say, the start of 8.2 has me really scratching my head over what is this plan?
Yes, yes. And it has been always saying that there is a plan, but we've never seen hints of what the plan is. So your guess is as good as mine at this point.
I think the reveal of that plan is going to be an awesome moment. I just hope it's not spoiled at BlizzCon and it's something that we can kind of encounter through a cinematic that can't be unlocked until a certain part of the game. It's like that the whole Sylvanas' plan thing is one of those moments that I really don't want to see WoWhead spoil. I feel like that has to be revealed in a cinematic that, you know, is encrypted and all that stuff.
I don't know. I think that if you want to do that, you need to stay away from the internet when it starts coming out. Yeah, it's going to be movie spoiler time where it's just like, nope, turn off Twitter, turn off communication.
Speaking of spoilers, we're going to go into prediction land. So we're going to try to guess what the spoilers are here. Manny, who is the final boss of Battle for Azeroth? I guess I should actually rephrase it by saying, is it really going to be N'Zoth, or is it someone or something else?
So I wish that N'Zoth would get his own expansion. However, I just cannot see them going any other way than N'Zoth as the final opponent. So are we going to Nyalotha? Yeah, I'm messing up on that. What's the name of that?
Nyalotha.
There we go. Are we going to Nyalotha? Are we going to be facing off against the first truly free old god? I think that would be a big end to this expansion. And then beyond that, there are still old gods in the greater cosmos, and we have already let one person go to commune with those in Zelotath. So that's where I see the expansion ending, is that we do finally defeat the last remaining old god, and the fate of the planet is decided.
My answer to that question is also tied into the answer of this next question I'm going to give you. What is the fate of Sylvanas Windrunner?
So my tinfoil hat theory is that she will absorb the dark powers, the void energies of the fallen old god, and become a unbefore rivaled power, something along the lines of like the Night Warrior for the Night Elves, or even saying like the Earth Warder version of Thrall, we've always had these people jump to like mythical levels. And if she jumps to that stage with all the like dubious nature of her, I think that would be a way to push it forward without her becoming another person that we have to take down.
Basically, she kind of ascends to Lich King power tier.
Yes.
Without being called the Lich King or Lich Queen.
Being in her own realm. So like, yes, right. Lich King, and this one would be Void, and yep. We'd go from there. Or even Undeath would be the same thing as Lich King, yeah.
Yeah, it's still kind of weird how the Voids seem to be afraid of her. I find that interesting.
Yeah.
All right, last prediction question. And I guess this is kind of, you've already kind of said some stuff about this, but let's go a little bit deeper. We get to BlizzCon. They announce the next expansion. I think that's almost a given at this point. What is the next expansion about?
I think that the next expansion is about the Undeath or the whatever is destroying or destroying the balance of the spirit realm. So we know that we have been dealing with whatever had pushed the coronation of Sylvanas. And we know that a different power had brought back, or rather had been like pulling the strings behind Bwonsamdi. Bwonsamdi has a boss,
mm-hmm.
right? Elyir has talked about it. I think that's somewhat foreshadowing. In the Torin Heritage Armor, there's also stuff to deal with the spirit realm. I think this is all seeds about leading towards that life-death cycle, which is the one cycle we haven't really touched yet.
My prediction is... now. Okay, I should say this is my second prediction about the next expansion, but along those lines, my first prediction remains and will continue to remain the one that's not going to come true, and that is Infinite Dragonflight expansion. It's not going to happen as much as I want it to. I understand this. Now, if I were to get to a more realistic prediction, I feel like the Shadowlands are a possible expansion.
Yeah.
The Shadowlands are basically like the dark version of the Emerald Dream, right? Not the Emerald Nightmare, but basically it is a realm of death. And seeing that you have all these different entities and forces that in their own different unique ways dabble with that, all this stuff happening with Sylvanas, you have Bolvar, you have Bwonsamdi, you have Helya. There's so much potential there for just a big... wide expansion, expansive death expansion.
Yeah. And for those people who think that it hasn't been foreshadowed so greatly, like all the way through Drustvar and the Drust magic and at the end of Waycrest Manor, that's all stuff that they haven't touched back on the entire time of BFA. And that's not for nothing. That is going to be brought in, and we are going to see like the Drust as a faction. We're going to see Helya come back and have the Valkyr involved. And then, yeah, the Loa and Bwonsamdi and his stuff, that will be like something to push the Horde into it. So I think that, yes, your Shadow Realm is pretty much on the mark.
All right. Well, let's move on to the questions I'm asking everyone here. First off, what is your first experience, or rather, what was your first experience with a game made by Blizzard Entertainment?
So my first experience with a game made by Blizzard Entertainment was Warcraft 2.
Okay.
Playing through the campaign, sucking so much, and looking up the God Mode cheat so that I could get through it.
Which story, which side was your favorite side of that?
Oh, well, you had to play humans. They were the good guys.
Do you still feel that way as far as the story of Warcraft goes? I'm just curious.
I think that Blizzard has tried to push a narrative where there is no one good side. There are good people on all the sides. Mm-hmm. I think at times they are more successful than at others, but... yeah, I'd say that there are good people on both sides. There are bad people that have been trying to like push the sides into bad situations. But if you don't take the latest stuff, I'd say both sides are pretty good.
Yeah, we need some more Alliance baddies. I want some genuinely sinister Alliance characters. Characters that are basically on the side of the Alliance, but... don't necessarily do things all, you know, bright, shiny, and heroic. I've always felt like I've always felt like SI7 could, you know, get a little darker and such, but hasn't happened yet. Here's hoping that that changes. Next question. What do you feel is one hidden pitfall with podcasting or content creation in general that prevents people from succeeding?
I would say that people need to have it perfect. They keep on retooling, relaunching, trying to find exactly the perfect formula, and there's no such thing as a perfect formula. The ones that have made it have just done what they wanted to do and have found their audience because they're like-minded people.
That's a fair answer. I'd say over the course of doing this show, I have, you know, I've never made real shockingly big changes, but as it's evolved, I have like made one change here and a little change there. And I'm always trying to do things to keep things fresh, but I never really did those changes as much for the purpose of bringing in more audience members as I just did it to keep it more engaging and entertaining for myself.
Yeah. And there are so many people who will record the first episode of a podcast, not like it, record the first episode again, not like it, and then never get the first episode out. That was like 3-4 episodes of content. And like I said, if you go back, I didn't start perfectly. I definitely started far from perfect. But
no
I had,
one does, unless you're Coltrane.
Unless you're Coltrane, yes. But I had a great support from an amazing co-host. I had Garrett giving me his blessings, and like I managed to jump into something that was already working and just putting my touch on it. So I guess it's not the best example, but I have started another podcast where it was just my friend and I talking about issues, and it was going great, and I wish that had continued, but that was stopped more for personal issues than for anything to do with the formula. So if you are podcasting or you want to start a podcast, just get it out there. Have your voice and people will give you feedback. You can adjust it, but you have to start somewhere. So just get started.
That's great advice. Next question for you. Outside of ones that you have an involvement in, what podcast would you recommend to my listeners to check out? And this can be inside gaming or outside of gaming, any podcast.
So outside of gaming, the first podcast that I will always push people towards, Patrick Beja does the Phileas Club, and I absolutely love that show. It's opinions from all over the world about like what's going on in the world. I think that's a wonderful podcast.
You're not the first to bring that one up here on this segment.
Within Blizzard Gaming, I think there's a number of good ones. I love The Starting Zone. I love Merely a Setback. And the third one that I would want to mention is actually Morally Gray.
Hey, how about that? Awesome. And finally, the most important question of this segment. Manny, what question should I ask my next guest?
I would ask your next guest if they could have one ability from any of the games, Blizzard games that they play, what ability would that be?
That's a great question, and I like it. Thanks a lot, man.
No problem.
With me right now are the hosts of the Load Screen podcast, here to answer Manny's question from For Azeroth. Plaggy, Euro, if you could have one ability from any of the Blizzard games that you currently play, what would that ability be? Plaggy, how about you?
Oh, God. I'm going to go with the ability to throw demonic green fire out of my hands.
Nice. Yeah. So you just want to be able to shoot green fire?
Yeah, I mean, specifically green fire, none of that orange fire. I've done that that green fire questline on two different warlocks now.
Did you do it at level when it was relevant?
I attempted to.
You see, I can't say I played back in vanilla, but I can say I got green fire when patch 5.2 was out.
Nice.
And not when you could just steamroll over that freaking boss now.
Oh, it was no joke even in, not to get ahead of your stuff here, it was no joke even in Warlords.
Oh, yeah? Yeah, for Warlords, I imagine it could still be a little bit tricky. There's some stuff to manage and whatnot. There can still be some, like, one-shot things with the Chaos Bowl and everything. But yeah, that's green fire. You know, I will never turn down green fire as an acceptable answer to any question. I mean, really, green fire is the answer for a lot of questions in life. Euro, if you could have one ability from any of the Blizzard games you play, what would that ability be?
So since they all fit on one action bar slot and I can already cook in real life, I'm going to say teleport.
All right. Awesome. Now, would you... Now, here's an interesting question, though. Would you only be able to teleport to Azeroth locations, or what would your teleport locations be if we're talking real world here?
It'd have to be like the real world equivalent of the Azeroth locations. So, like, you'd teleport to Los Angeles, then you could teleport to Tokyo, then you could teleport to London, that kind of stuff. You're limited to however many you're actually limited to in the game, and then whenever the game updates and gives you another one, then you get another one, right?
Yeah. I want to change my
answer. That's generous. I'm being reasonable here.
Why you want to change your answer? Green fire's just fine.
But teleporting is so useful.
It is.
Yeah, but you're not a mage, so get out of here.
Well, oh. I wasn't thinking of easily the...
Oh, crap. Here I am limiting myself to teleport. I could say portal and, like, actually share the love. But no, Euro chooses teleport. He only cares about himself.
It says a lot about you now.
Sorry, Plaggy.
You have a little bit of warlock in you after all, I think, Euro. You're already self-centered. No. And that's the first step.
Don't
to
give
a
him
warlock.
That
all
much
warlocks
credit.
Have a little bit of mage in them, okay? Let's get this right.
shooting fire is just a side effect. It's just a symptom.
wait. Shooting fire out of which end?
We'll leave that to be determined. Plaggy. On to prediction questions for WoW. My first prediction question. What is the final raid of Battle for Azeroth? Now, up until this point in this segment, I've asked most WoW podcasts, what's the final boss? Now, that's somewhat figured out, maybe kind of, sort of. Actually, there's still a little bit of question about that. But I actually want to ask you, what's the final raid for Battle for Azeroth? Because I think that may not be as clear as who the final boss is.
I do believe the final raid is going to be called Siege of Orgrimmar, wherein we go and attempt to take down a corrupt warchief. No, I'm joking. I hadn't really thought about setting. I mean, everybody's thought about who the boss is going to be.
Sure.
If I had to, it would probably be... Now, I don't want this to be the case because I want this to be the next expansion. But if I had to guess, I'd say we'd be heading to Nyalotha.
Hmm. Okay. Euro, do you agree with that?
I think Nyalotha is going to be waiting for a while. I wouldn't be surprised if we went back to Silithus for a little jaunt towards the end of this, and I wouldn't be surprised if Eternal Palace isn't the last raid. I expect that it'll be the last full raid, and we'll probably get a small one or two boss, or maybe three boss sort of deal, in Silithus. And it will probably cover some of the storyline concerning where the heck is the Warchief right now.
So my guess, my prediction for the final raid is, and it probably won't be named this, but I'm going to go along with a popular Reddit rumor that's been out there over the past several days and say that the raid's going to be the Battle for Thunderbluff.
Ooh, I'd be all over that. Especially if it's like the end of a certain cinematic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yep. That's where I'm thinking right now. I don't know if it would be like a necessarily a faction specific one like Battle for Dazar'alor, but I feel like Thunderbluff could be the setting for a raid. And just considering the geography and the locations and stuff like that, I think there's a way to make it work.
Absolutely.
Imagine the ultimate elevator bosses, guys. The Lord. Ultimate elevator bosses.
The elevator boss that's killed me thousands of times without it even being in a raid.
And now it can get you in a raid. Just think of the possibilities. All right, next prediction question. Will there be any major character deaths before the end of Battle for Azeroth? And if you want to say who, feel free. But just the question of will there be any more? Because Legion seemed to have its fair share of character deaths. Battle for Azeroth, not so much. Outside of King Rostakhan, yes, King Rostakhan was big. Mechatork is on ice right now, but Rostakhan was really the only major one, and he's the only major in terms of being within that expansion itself. But I'm like, are we going to see Jaina or Anduin or Sylvanas or you know, Tyrande or one of, or Lorthamar, if people know who he is. Euro, do you think there will be any major character deaths?
The ones that I wouldn't be surprised about would be either Rokkan or Sarfang. Mm-hmm. I wouldn't be surprised if they chose to off either one of those guys and tug on the heartstrings a little bit.
I think Sarfang would be a big one. I feel like all this big up for Sarfang, and then you have him go out in a blaze of glory, that could do it.
Well, I mean, think about what they did with Illidan. I mean, yeah. Illidan had, I mean, the whole thing was centered around him, and then he ended up being like, nah, I mean, he's not dead, but he's like, nah, man, I'm going to stay up here and babysit the destroyer of the universe.
He's off the book for 3 expansions, maybe 2 if they're get desperate, but yeah. Plaggy, how about you? Any major character deaths?
I think if there's going to be one, it's only going to be one, and it's going to be Sarfang, because he has been thirsting for an honorable death for a very long time, and what more honorable way could there be than to restore honor to the Horde and fall in the process?
All right. Next and last prediction question, actually. Plaggy, what is the focus of the next WoW expansion? When we see this thing announced at BlizzCon 2019, which is what I and I'm sure a lot of other people are predicting, where are we going? What are we doing? What's the central focus of it?
All right, picture this, right?
Yep.
This is an empty field. The wind is just howling over. You hear a bunch of howling and barking in the distance, and you're like, what? And you look, and suddenly, World of Warcraft, Corgis Unleashed. No.
Nice.
What I actually think is going to be is what everybody seems to think it's going to be is the Black Empire.
N'Zoth's back, and he's brought friends.
Yes. What I would prefer, though, is if we had like another foray into the whole undead thing, kind of like how Legion seemed to be like Burning Crusade 2.0. I want a Wrath of the Lich King 2.0. Like maybe we go to the Shadowlands, do some garbage there. I don't know.
And there's a whole lot of stuff going on with figures that deal with death right now. When you talk about Helya, Bolvar, Buonsamdi, there's a lot of potential for that. So yeah, the Shadowlands could definitely be a possibility. Euro, how about you? What do you feel is the focus of the next expansion? I'm hoping for Infinite Dragonflight, for the record.
So I don't think that y'all are wrong. The issue with what I think is that I'm not sure what the name's going to be, but it's going to be playing around in all of those areas we were talking about. I'm guarantee the Emerald Drain is going to be a big part of it. The Black Empire is going to be involved in some way, shape, or form. I wouldn't be surprised if we got the inverse of what the Emerald Dream is, which is this realm of overflowing and abundant life. You'd get the Shadowlands or the Realm of Death.
Yeah.
I wouldn't be surprised if all that stuff is wrapped up into one big ball. Do I know where like the major continent would end up being? Not really. It seems like, if you compare the old maps to the new map, that everything is kind of accounted for from the Sundering on. Mm-hmm. So we might be doing a Cataclysm thing where we're dancing around in the plains or whatever. So you might be actually going to the Emerald Dream and actually going to the Shadowlands, so on and so forth. But it's going to be playing around that, the whole inverse idea of life and death. And then the Black Empire is going to be a big part of it as well.
All right. Definitely a couple of theories that I have heard in many other places. So definitely not the most unpopular ones. I will continue the hope and pray for an Infinite Dragonflight time travel focus expansion that will never happen. all right. Moving on to the questions that I have asked everyone here this year. Plaggy, what was your first experience with a game made by Blizzard?
It was definitely WoW, actually.
Nice.
Yeah. Like, you asking what happened or what game it was?
The first game that you played made by Blizzard. A lot of people, I've heard a lot of people say, you know, the Warcraft 2 or Warcraft 3, and there have been a few people that have said World of Warcraft, but not as many as you'd think.
Really?
Yeah. All right, Euro, how about you? Have you played anything Blizzard made before World of Warcraft, or was WoW your first love?
Nope, WoW was the first. My first experience with Blizzard stuff, though, was seeing the StarCraft box and the Diablo 2 box sitting on the shelf all the time and being terrified by the Diablo one and mad at my mom for not letting me pick up the one that had the Protoss guy's face on it.
Nice. All right, next question. We'll go with Euro for this one first. And I think this one can be a little bit interesting just considering how relatively young your guys' show is right now. Euro, what do you feel is one hidden pitfall with podcasting that prevents people from succeeding?
A hidden pitfall? Kind of what I was talking about earlier with getting tour arts back. I feel that after you get comfortable with each other, you kind of get comfortable with the... maybe your wavelengths line up too much. You kind of end up having this empty space in the middle, and you kind of need that third party or that third wheel or the third part of the tripod, whatever you want to call it, person to come and fill in and mix up the middle ground a little bit. And all three of those people can take that role at some certain point in time. But whenever you have two people, yeah, your chain of thought tends to line up a lot more than if you have three.
Yeah, that's totally understandable, and why in the main interview we had, I've said that. There are definitely some podcasts where the two-host formula is just fine, and it shines, and it does great. And I'm not saying two hosts is a bad format. Otherwise, I'd be saying currently load screen's a bad format, and I'd be saying rolling restart's a bad format. But there are a lot of three-host podcasts that I just feel... It's just easier to get that conversation going and to just keep it running there.
Yeah, especially whenever the people are there on a continual basis. Like if you're a one man podcast and you just always have a guest on, then you've always got that freshness going on, unless it's the same two people rotating all the time. But those kind of podcasts succeed in their own way as well, in my opinion.
Yeah, absolutely. Plaggy, how about you?
I'm going to hark back to consistency again. People who've never made a podcast might not realize how difficult it can be to be consistent. And it's not just because show up here this time, record for this long. Then there's also the editing and how thorough you want to be on the editing, worrying if you're over editing. And then all having it all out on the same day. And you're like, oh, God, I'm so tired from work. Maybe I'll just do it tomorrow has been something I've been doing a lot that makes the consistency a big problem. I've been podcasting on and off on different shows since like 2012. So I've run into that problem a lot. And that might just be something people don't think of.
Honestly, for people listening to podcasts, I definitely agree. Surprisingly enough, consistency pretty much dominating the answer to that question. It's like half the people I'm asking this question to are saying consistency. So if you're a podcaster, you know.
I am Jack's complete lack of surprise.
Next question, Plaggy, and outside of podcasts that you are involved in, and this doesn't necessarily have to be just Blizzard, WoW, gaming podcasts, what's a podcast that you would recommend my listeners check out?
Oh boy. The other kind of podcasts I tend to listen to are true crime, so I don't really know if people would be down for that. But
go for it. I've gotten a lot of variety on this question. So name a true crime one. Sure.
My favorite murder, hands down. A coworker got me on that, and it's just they somehow make it hilarious. And yeah, but only if you're really into true crime, because if not, you're like, oh, my God, they're being really flippant about somebody being shot. A less serious note. Pretty much any podcast Rooster Teeth puts out, Rooster Teeth podcast, Off Topic, always open, but fair warning, that and obviously my favorite murder come with an explicit tag, so if y'all don't like swearing, that's not the place.
Understood. Euro, how about you? Is there a podcast you'd recommend to my listeners?
The only un-work-life-related podcast that I've listened to is the Long War TV. I've recently started painting Warhammer miniatures about a year and a half, 2 years now, and that's another part of what I'm trying to add to my stream at some point. But they talk about what's going on in the world of Games Workshop and other tabletop gaming related things. But yeah, they put it out every Thursday, I believe.
Cool. I never got really big into Warhammer myself, but I've always been a big fan of Games Workshop because of a certain board game they made called Talisman. It was like my favorite board game of all time.
It's a pretty big jump to get into Warhammer. If you watch some of those guys, they can really make it a little bit easier. One of the guys on there runs a Twitch stream as well, and he paints every Tuesday and Friday. Kenny Boucher, Next Level Painting. He makes it easy to, he's like, he'll give you tips on buying a certain army pack to save money or painting a certain way to save time, because you don't want to show up with a bunch of gray miniatures that's just ugh. And you don't want to just spray paint them black and show up either. He shows you some quick and easy ways to get a cheap airbrush, paint them really fast, and get an army ready to go and actually start learning the game and having a fun time.
Awesome. Well, thank you for that suggestion. That's one I have not heard so far this year. Last question, gentlemen. What is the next question that I should ask my next guest? Let's see. Flip a coin here. Euro, you're first.
What is the average flight speed velocity of an unladen swallow?
You have to choose a different question because that one has been used before on the show.
Come on. Are you saying somebody else on the show is a Monty Python fan?
That was one of the first bonus questions that was asked as a bonus question. Matter of fact, that I want to say it was the second or third guest I had which decided to use that one. So I will let you choose another question, or we'll just go with Plaggy's.
Okay. So if... pertaining to whatever class this individual is, if you could pick any spell that has been pruned from the game, what spell would it be to have back?
That's a deep one. Okay. Considering who my next guest is, that should be an interesting answer. Plaggy, how about you? What question would you have for my next guest?
Would you rather eat a waffle coated in bees or a pancake coated in sour milk, and why?
Is that normally the format for those types of questions? You said, would you rather eat a waffle covered in bees? Was that the first one?
Waffle covered in bees.
See, or a so pancake typically what happens is it just gets reversed in that format of questions. So it's like, would you rather eat a bee covered in waffle?
No, that's not what I said.
But that's the normal format for those kinds of questions.
Quiet, Mage.
Did anyone ever say that Plaggy was normal?
I don't think anyone's ever accused him.
You're talking to the guy that introduced himself to Techie Taco and Perfect Nomad by dumping a bunch of ranch on a cupcake and eating it.
Nice.
Okay.
Thank you, gentlemen. I appreciate it.
No problem, man. It was a fun time.
Hey guys, it's Ro here, and before we go into our final segment for this part of Yearly Maintenance, I just need to put out a little bit of a fun story and a bit of an apology. When I recorded the interview with Jocelyn and Garrett from The Angry Chicken, I had forgotten an important detail, that Jocelyn Moffat was no longer Jocelyn Moffat, but actually Jocelyn Carney, because she had gotten married, and yet my brain still insisted on calling her Jocelyn Moffat. Now, you may have not noticed that goof up in the first interview, because I actually went back and edited it and re-recorded it and did a little ADR and changed it to Jocelyn Carney. In this one, I'm just going to explain it here and apologize, and that's why you hear me say Jocelyn Moffat, and some of you will be like, who's that? Or, Ro, come on, man. Anyhow, just a little behind the scenes, Jocelyn, I'm sorry. With me right now to answer a number of questions is Jocelyn Moffat and Garrett Weinzel from The Angry Chicken. Guys, I have an interesting situation here. Normally, I would be asking you questions given from the last person I talked to. But you're going to get a little more than that, because I also ended up talking to Patty Matson, the voice behind Warchief Sylvanas Windrunner for Realm Maintenance's 7th anniversary episode. So you're going to get some questions from her as well to kick this thing off. Let's get the questions from the Load Screen podcast out of the way, though, first. There's two of them. Euro, one of the co-hosts, asks, if you could pick any spell or ability that has been pruned from World of Warcraft to have back, which one would it be? Garrett.
In World of Warcraft?
Yes.
I just want to feed my pet. I miss bonding with my hunter pet.
Okay. That's not the answer I expected you to give. I thought you were going to give a Death Knight answer, because Death Knights have had so much done to them since they were created.
They have, but I have only ever really played one since Legion, and I stopped also playing one in Legion. So my encyclopedic knowledge of the history of Death Knight abilities is woefully lacking. So really, I miss a lot of the flavor of role playing a hunter.
All right, awesome, Joss. What about you? What spell or ability would you love to have back in WoW?
Can I just like piggyback on Garrett and say something along the lines of like ammo and arrows or something with hunters? I mean,
you're crazy.
Honestly, I mean, there's a little game called WoW Classic that can give you that experience.
Oh, I am aware, and I'm super stoked about it. But honestly, to be completely honest, coming to the game so late, and I mean, I've started playing alts at the end of Legion just to see all of the like class hall stuff a lot. And then, I mean, now I play a hunter, and I've started raiding on my paladin. But I like Garrett with his Death Knights, like I don't have enough knowledge. I haven't played WoW for long enough to experience the classes that I play specifically go through too many big, crazy changes. I mean, in general, I really enjoyed the way Survival Hunter played when they changed it over to melee, and then they kind of messed with it again heading into Battle for Azeroth. And I liked the Legion version, and I don't like the playstyle of the BFA version, but I can't even tell you the actual names. Like, I don't think anything got removed. I think everything just got tweaked to a way that I don't love it as much. So, I mean, the ability to try to get 6 stacks of your whatever it was, Mongoose Fury, maybe, to then get a big payoff. Like, I really liked that highs and lows of damage peaks as Survival Hunter. And they kind of took that away a little bit. So that's the closest answer I can give. But honestly, I don't know enough about all the other classes in World of Warcraft to really probably hit the nail on the head with whatever they're going for with that question.
I think you kind of summed it up well. The fact that both of you have an answer going for hunters I find interesting. Next up is the question that I warned you both about before we hit the record button. Plaggy, the other co-host from the Load Screen podcast, asks the question, which would you rather eat, a waffle coated in bees or a pancake coated in sour milk, and why? Jocelyn.
Are the bees still alive? Will they sting me, or can I shoo them?
Why don't we just say they're dead?
Okay. Ooh, well, if I can't shoo them away and just eat the waffle underneath, I guess maybe I go with the sour milk pancakes, because I could maybe mix it in and get the pancake to cover the flavor. I don't know. That's a disgusting question.
It is. It's pretty much the most disgusting question I've been asked this year. Garrett, what's your choice?
What is wrong with you?
To be fair, these aren't Rose questions.
They aren't.
Well, that question was posed to the question asker. I default to pancakes unless the stingers have been removed from the bees, because then, you know, at that point it's just, you know, it's a little extra crunch with your is it chocolate covered waffle cone? Is that what you said?
a waffle coated in bees.
Yeah, I mean, as long as I'm not actually harming myself, yeah, I'd go with the waffle covered in bees, because yeah, a little extra crunch never hurt anybody. There's protein in bugs.
All right. Well, now to the couple of questions from Patty Matson, the voice of Sylvanas Windrunner. Not gaming questions, not even WoW questions.
I just want you to know I will answer these questions while kneeling.
Okay, fair enough. These are actually kind of a couple of interesting thought-provoking questions. Garrett, we'll start with you on this first one. Do you feel like you need to shy away from politics on your social feeds so you don't lose anybody?
I wouldn't say that's why I shy away from politics.
Mm-hmm.
But I definitely do. Because I've got news for anyone I follow on Twitter. If you tweet about politics a lot, I've probably muted you because I read the news. I have my own opinions, and I don't need to be reminded on Twitter about things that are hard truths.
Mm, fair enough. Joss, how about you?
I'm kind of in the same boat as Garrett. I feel like my political views are pretty out there. Mm-hmm. Like as in people know what they are. Sure. I don't think anybody, you know, looks at me and thinks, you know, oh, hardcore, super conservative, right wing person. Like I am very left wing liberal, you know, everyone's a person and I like people. So mm-hmm. and I think everyone kind of knows that. And it's more so not that I think I'll lose followers, because like I said, I feel like everyone kind of knows where I fall politically, but it's more so along the lines of, I know I get exhausted with the constant just bombardment of all of the, yeah, just everything that's going on right now. It's really overwhelming. And I don't want to add to that. Mm-hmm. So it's like there are some times that I will speak up if I feel that something is like people are totally missing a point, or if I feel that there is a reason for me specifically to speak out, if it's, you know, having to deal with things that are very specific to me and my experience, then I will absolutely say something if I feel I'm adding to the conversation. But in general, I don't say much. I don't retweet much because I don't want to add to the echo chamber or add to people's anxiety, because I know it's really, really hard to be on the internet right now with a lot of the stuff that's going on. And it's not just like necessarily politics. It's like just negativity everywhere all the time. Sure. Now. And I just don't want to add to that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm personally winded by the there's no, everything's the same volume.
Rage culture.
Yeah, exactly. And this isn't like, I want to walk it back by saying like, this isn't me saying you shouldn't tweet about politics, because it's totally on mm-hmm. you, and it's up to me to follow you or not. Mm-hmm. I think everyone should tweet about what they freaking want to tweet about. I mean, Twitter is, I think, to a certain degree irrelevant, other than for a lot of us, it is our public face in between podcasts.
Yeah.
But yeah, that's my take on the situation. And yeah, I'm with you, Joss. I think most people understand where I am, which is to say probably confusing, because I'm a bit of a liberal redneck.
Well, the second question from Patty, and this one's also a good one. I think one of the best ones I've had this year. Joss, what beautiful things do you do to bring light to your life when you're feeling down? What kind of things help you to stay positive and get over the hump when you're just feeling down?
Outside of just like straight up saying the kind of obvious, which I think would be gaming.
Yeah.
Gaming very much is for me, and I think for a lot of people, an escape. So, I mean, I have things that I will do and things that I will play when I need to kind of shut everything else out, and just kind of be in another world, another moment, you know, and get back on track. But I mean, other than that, he just jumped up on my lap. I like to snuggle my thrall, my cat. And I think that, and I mean, outside of that, just spending time with my husband as well is a really big deal for me, because he is a very, very calming and positive influence in my life that I absolutely need, because I tend to be a pretty dark disaster thinker. So he kind of brings me back into the good and happy place.
Cool. How about you, Garrett? What do you do when you're down?
I think we're just going to get super mushy here. Yeah, I don't know what I would do without my wife. I don't know what I would do without Katie. I'm also like, working from home is, it can be really rad. And I'm super lucky that I get to do what I do for a living. But oh, it's so lonely. You don't even understand. Yeah. if you haven't worked from a home office with no one else, it gets so lonely sometimes. And I'm,
oh my God, Matt went away this past week. He was gone from Tuesday until last night. And I was just like working from home alone in my basement. And I was like, this is the worst. Like normally, at least I have someone to talk to in the evenings, but like, man, it's so bad.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm extremely fortunate in that Katie works very close to where we live. So she actually comes home for her lunch. So like in the middle
of my day,
she pops in and I keep the dogs out. They have like a dog room that we keep them in while I'm working. And so in the middle of the day, I get to hang out with Katie and also let all three of our chihuahuas out. And like it's just this vortex of, oh, I needed this. It just recharges me. Like I have really cut down on caffeine just because now I get up, I have my coffee, I work. And right about the time I'm like, I can't do this anymore. I'm burnt out. I've been staring at the monitor all day. Then it's lunchtime. Katie's here. Let's let the dogs out. Let's have a good time. It's a real healthy way for me to recharge.
You're high on chihuahuas.
You're exactly. Chihuahuas, they're the best drug and they're entirely legal. So
basically, I think we can all agree pets and spouses help.
They do. Yes. They do. And beyond that, reading. I love reading Star Wars novels. They really help me escape.
Awesome. All right. Well, next up, a few kind of quick fire prediction questions. The prediction questions are kind of different for every guest I have here, although some of them end up being the same. First up, let's do a Hearthstone question. What is the third Hearthstone set of 2019 about? And how many dragon cards are going to be in it? Because this year, the dragon's not looking very draconic so far. Garrett.
Old gods and zero dragons.
Wow, zero dragons. Maybe not even like Deathwing in a new form.
Maybe like two.
Okay.
We've already gotten two forms of Deathwing, so I think it's someone else's time. Maybe those Dormu, so we might actually play. Dr.
Boom has three forms, right?
Don't remind me. I mean, when people are listening to this, it'll be a bit of a time capsule. But right now, don't remind me about Dr. Boom.
Okay. Jocelyn, how many dragons and what will the third set be about?
I think it's going to be like all dragons. So we've got, you know, we went from Dalaran, and then now we're flying Dalaran around. They crashed it into Blackrock Mountain, which has a lot of draconic influence and past in World of Warcraft. And then now we're out in Uldum. And I very much feel like the dragons are going to make their final great appearance in the last expansion. So I think we're going to be like full on dragon stuff, and they're just going to come out of the woodwork, and half of them are going to be on the side of, you know, destroying the world. So we're going to see like twilight dragons and
I just thought
black
of something.
Dragons.
There are four heroes in the League of Explorers. What if each of them has like a dragonflight champion,
like an aspect? Yeah,
and like the League of Evil gets Deathwing,
Deathwing, and all the twilight guys, and all the dragonflights that have been corrupted and created over the course of the history of World of Warcraft, all coming together on the side of the evil guys and the other dragonflights helping out the good guys. Yeah.
Who would you say is the biggest bad in Hearthstone that isn't, you know, that's more unique to Hearthstone? I don't even know who I would answer.
My answer is just going to make you mad, Garrett.
Crackle?
I was going to say RNG.
Nah, the thing you don't want me to remind you of.
Bobby Kotick?
Yeah, that's it. Newsflash, Dr. Boom is Bobby Kotick.
Yeah, Yogg-Saron. No, I'm trying to think of something that's not an old god or like something, because you look at the...
Because even Dr. Boom is from Warcraft, like...
Well, technically, yeah, but he's really made famous through Hearthstone more so than Warcraft itself.
Oh, for sure.
Yeah, I'm trying.
I mean, Rafam's never been in World of Warcraft, so I mean, it's obvious why they chose him to have him lead the League of Evil.
Yeah, there's quite a few unique members of the League of Evil. I'm firmly convinced the League of Evil and the League of Explorers are going to have to band together to fight against a shared bigger bad. So I'm trying to think of who they would unleash, but I don't know.
Maybe something original. Who knows?
Could be.
I've mentioned his name a couple of times already, but let's talk about him in another game. Easy yes or no question. Joss, will Deathwing reveal himself in the Nexus this year in the Heroes of the Storm?
Whoa. No, because Cadence. Sorry, Garrett.
Triggered.
Garrett.
Boy, that would go a long way to, I mean, imagine people freaking out at BlizzCon if that was, they're going to announce a hero at BlizzCon.
Yes.
Deathwing is pretty high on the list of how has he not been added yet, as far as heroes are concerned. So I'm marking that as plausible.
Okay.
But I don't know. I have nothing to go off of to because I think we're at the time
no
of recording
this. No one expected Kira, so hey, yeah, who knows?
At the time of recording this, Kira just is releasing tomorrow.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. If we get two more heroes this year, I would be really impressed. So I think we're definitely going to get one announced at BlizzCon.
All right. And speaking of BlizzCon, which franchise gets the biggest pop, the biggest buzz at BlizzCon? Obviously, there are rumors of certain projects in the work for Overwatch and Diablo. People assume there's a WoW expansion announcement. Hearthstone will get something announced for it. Which one wins BlizzCon, Garrett?
Diablo.
Okay.
That's the answer. Short of like a rift in time opening up and someone from another universe coming in and being like, hey, that StarCraft shooter you were excited about, we decided to make it. Here it is.
You agree with that, Joss?
I do believe that Diablo is probably going to get a huge announcement. I mean, everyone's been talking about Diablo 4, and I think if they don't announce Diablo 4, then they're just going to outright lose their entire fan base because I think people are tired of waiting. So, but I don't necessarily know if that wins BlizzCon. I mean, I'm going to back Hearthstone because I feel like as much as we always get the same thing from them, I'm really, really stoked that we're going to have the Grandmasters Finals back at BlizzCon. So I think that between the Grandmasters Finals and then we're probably going to get an expansion announcement or something along those lines, right? Like they always do something like that at BlizzCon. So I think with those two things, but then if you layer on top of that, the way the dev team has been acting in Hearthstone, they've basically said we're getting, you know, nothing like new and crazy in 2019. But I'm very much expecting a maybe like a roadmap or something from Hearthstone to say, like, here are the things we're working on for 2020.
The and mode I, that shall not be named.
Well, and I don't want to say that, but what I will say is that the Hearthstone team itself seems a lot more nimble, a lot quicker to react, and a lot more interested in what the community has to say. And what the community has to say a lot for the last 6 years is game modes, game modes, game modes, game modes. So I would expect some sort of, like, for the Hearthstone crowd, mind-blowing announcement that has something along the lines to do with, like, even just telling us what's coming in 2020. Again, I don't think anything crazy is going to happen in 2019, but I think 2020 is going to be a great year for Hearthstone. I think we're going to hear about that year at BlizzCon. So I'm going to back Hearthstone because that's what I'm always the most stoked for at BlizzCon. Mm-hmm. And I think this year is going to be a hallmark year for Hearthstone at BlizzCon.
All right. Last prediction question. Back to WoW to wrap up the predictions. Does any major WoW character meet their end by the conclusion of patch 8.3? And if so, who? Jocelyn.
Whoa, meet their end. Interesting. I mean, everyone's kind of hoping for Sylvanas at this point, right? But I don't think they do that to her.
I think everyone is. There are Sylvanas loyalists out
there. Hey, I am a Sylvanas loyalist.
I'm not hoping for Sylvanas to die. I'm hoping for Sylvanas to realize that the Horde is small potatoes and become the Lich Queen. Mm.
Which I think, yeah, they're probably going to spin her off into her own faction outside of the Alliance and Horde or something like that. I don't think that they'll outright kill her. But yeah, I don't know. They've really been focused on Lothamar and Greymane on the Alliance side. So, and obviously Jaina, but I don't think they'll kill. I think Jaina and Sylvanas basically just have plot armor because everyone loves them. So I don't think that either one of them are ever going to get killed off.
Sure.
Which makes me think that possibly maybe Greymane or Lothamar might be the one to go. And I think I'd like to see the Alliance and I'd like to see Anduin in more of a spotlight and losing yet another like father type figure. I mean, he lost Bolvar, then he lost Varian. Like if he was to lose Greymane too, maybe that would be enough to, I don't know, snap him out of his peaceful ways, make him be a little more proactive. Like, I don't know. I think that maybe go along with whatever it is that Wrathion is planning. I think that could be a really interesting story if he like loses his last father figure and then just says, forget it, whatever you're doing, I'm in. Go, go, dragon buddy.
I feel like Sarfang, there's just so much, he's been given so much emphasis and so much storytelling. I almost feel like they're setting him up for going out in a blaze of glory at some point.
We can only hope. We can only hope.
If Sarfang makes it out of this alive, I will just be sad, because it just seems like the perfect storytelling to have him eat it at the end of this expansion.
I just want him to eat it. Even if he just, like, I don't even care if it's a well-told story. Like, he could just, like, walk into a room and some nameless rogue stabs him in the back. That'd be fine, too.
What do you have against Sarfang?
I hate that character.
Wow.
Wow. Okay.
Yeah, real feelings here.
Wow.
I am not a Sarfang Fang fan.
I want the Sylvanas writer to meet that end. That's what I want.
No, Sarfang's
a traitor.
I think Greymane has to die to make Anduin interesting. I really think Anduin is one of the most boring characters of this entire expansion, and he's the leader of half of the game.
Yeah.
Like, he's just, I mean, my biggest critique of BFA has nothing to do with Azerite armor. It's that the story has been moving at a molasses pace.
Yeah.
And so overall with the faction war, I'm at the time of recording this, I'm kind of checked out. I just want to know how it ends. What if
they just straight up kill Anduin? And say that the dynasty of the Rins has come to an end, and the Alliance has to figure out where they go from here. That could also be kind of interesting. I mean, not that I want Anduin out of the game. I think he has a lot of potential, and he's one of the characters that we've seen actually like grow up through the 15 years of World of Warcraft. So there's something to be said for that. But at the same time, like, what if?
I'm really drinking the you know, faction lines won't matter anymore Kool-Aid, and I think Anduin is the soft boy for the job. Anduin just needs he feels like he's just been on pause since Varian's death, and I'm ready for them to hit fast forward on him. I'm really interested with where Sylvanas goes from here. I don't think there's any way she's dead. I think she's, if she doesn't like literally become the next Lich King, I think she's going to pull an Arthas and disappear for an expansion or two before we deal with the fallout of where she ends at the end of BFA. Cause I think we're dealing with Old God's next expansion.
Hmm. All right. Well, let's move on to the questions I'm asking everyone this year. And some of these, I think I may have asked both of you before in previous conversations, but doesn't hurt to bring them up again. Garrett, what was your very first experience with a game made by Blizzard Entertainment?
Ooh, I think it was, unfortunately, StarCraft 64.
Oh,
I'm pretty sure that was before I played the Diablo 2 demo on those old, like, gel-colored iMacs.
Mm-hmm. StarCraft 64 was a little rough. Joss, how about you?
Wow.
Pretty much World of Warcraft, right? Back in the Cataclysm?
I didn't play anything prior to that. Like, I was totally new to all of it. So I think that was my first one. I picked up StarCraft 2 not long after that. Like, I kind of, when I started in, I went hard on all three at that time, properties, and enjoyed them all. But yeah, I was really late to it. So yeah, WoW was the first thing.
All right. Next question. Jocelyn, I'll ask you this first. What do you feel is one hidden pitfall with podcasting or just content creation in general that prevents people from succeeding?
Co-host selection. No, I'm not kidding. I am 100% serious, because I don't think people realize how much the dynamic of co-hosts will impact your success as a podcast. I mean, if you have absolutely no experience sitting down and talking with the person you choose as your co-host for extended periods of time about the same subject matter, like, your podcast just will not be successful. And there are lots of people who are very knowledgeable that aren't necessarily personable enough to make a podcast work. And it is a lot of work, and it is a relationship. And when those relationships like don't work out, like there's so much work to do to make co-host relationships work, whether it's like how you work, when you work, who has what roles on shows sometimes even. I mean, there have been quite a few projects that I've started that have ended because we are friends, but podcast wise, it just doesn't work. And I mean, the first podcast that I ever started was Gamers In. Mm-hmm. And Ryan and I almost ended the show after about 10 episodes because I was just like, I can't work with this guy. Like his way of working and my way of working just do not gel. And we had this conversation where I felt like I was breaking up with him because I was like, I hate that you do this and this and this and this and this doesn't work and this doesn't work and this doesn't work. And he was like, I'm sorry, I'll do better. And I'm like, this feels like we're breaking up. And what we're doing is creating podcasts. It's very much that dynamic. And you need to make sure that the person that you choose, you have a lot of conversations up front about how you want things to work, that you do a couple of test episodes, because if you get a few episodes in and realize that your dynamic doesn't work, then your project isn't going to work. So 100% is your co-host selection. That should be like the very first thing that you're thinking about when you're doing a podcast is like, who can I actually sit down and talk to for an hour that is actually going to create the kind of content I want to put forward? And will I be able to work with this person?
It's you know such what?
A huge decision.
You know what? I actually absolutely agree with you on that. I've had personal experiences that have been both positive and not so positive when it comes to that kind of stuff. I will say that when I created my Hearthstone podcast, Hearth Casual, it was created very deliberately with one co-host and only one co-host in mind, Kevin Ellis, just because we've had an initial discussion about Hearthstone as like a segment on Realm Maintenance. And just hearing that, I was like, if I was ever to talk about Hearthstone as a podcast with anyone, this is the guy I'd talk about with. And when I started that conversation with him about like, hey, do you want to do a Hearthstone podcast? And he explained to me, well, I'm a new father and stuff like that. I have a baby to think of, and my time commitment's going to be a bit iffy. You know, we talked things through. We work with it. He was definitely interested in how he wanted to do it. And yeah, having those conversations and having that forethought in your mind is definitely important. So yes, I 100% agree with that answer. It's definitely a big one to consider. Garrett, how about you? What kind of hidden pitfalls do you think prevent people from succeeding in podcasting?
I mean, I always kind of go to how to get started when I think about this line of discussion. And I agree with everything you and Joss just talked about, my answer is going to probably go in the exact opposite direction, which is I think a lot of people think too much about it.
Okay.
I think they become paralyzed by planning. They sit too long on something without learning from experience. And really the example I always give, and this is the advice I always give people when they ask like, hey, how can I start podcasting? My answer is actually just make a podcast and don't worry about it being perfect. Learn as you go. You know, set that schedule for yourself and just keep putting out episodes. Don't spend 4 hours editing your podcast after you stop recording. Take what you learned from that episode that you just posted and apply it to next week's recording. Like build and grow, like
live edit yourself.
Exactly. Because if you just sit there and you continue to shine and you continue to refine, you're not going to make content at a frequent enough pace. And
And you're going to get burnt out too. Mm-hmm. There's nothing worse than sitting there and editing the minutia of every pause and stuff out of your show, or like, oh my God, and I personally can't listen to the sound of my voice. So it makes it really, really difficult to edit stuff after the fact. Like it's so much easier to take criticisms and make yourself better going forward. And that's kind of why I said podcast co-host dynamic, because every single one of my co-hosts, I know if I'm totally screwing something up, they will come to me and say, hey, you're not doing a great job at this. And I'm like, oh, thanks for pointing it out. And then I get better going forward. So yeah, I 100% agree with you, Garrett. Like, just like start doing it and get better over time for sure.
Yeah, that's a lesson I still need to learn sometimes. I think I probably spend myself a little too much time editing my stuff. But even that, considering that a good portion of the stuff that I do in post now is automated, I use, you know, certain automated services to do things like balancing certain levels or eliminating, you know, breathing here, odd silences there. But I could probably do, I could probably use that advice more than I like to admit. Moving on, next question. Garrett, besides shows that you are involved in, what podcast would you recommend to my listeners to check out? And this doesn't have to necessarily be within the realm of Blizzard and gaming podcasts. You can choose something outside that sphere as well if you have something you like.
Oh, man, I have so little time to listen to podcasts nowadays that I barely listen to anything anymore because I've gotten into a lot more video editing as my side hustle. So I don't know if you have any experience with it, but you can't really listen to people talk while you're trying to edit video. It doesn't work.
Understood.
So as I've moved more into that and further away from graphic design, my podcast listening has really, really fallen by the wayside. And so the only show I really keep up with anymore is Giant Bombcast. And they're like the biggest video game podcast in the world. So I would assume you probably have heard of them. But other than that, I will give one recommendation to a show that is very successful and you may have heard of, but is new to me and has really impressed me. And it's called the Darknet Diaries.
Okay.
Yeah,
I've not heard of that one.
Particularly, you should go and listen to their Chart Breakers episode because it does a deep dive into how to game the iTunes podcast ranking system.
I guess I will have to listen to this.
If you've ever been curious how it works, it is mind-blowing, this one episode of the Darknet Diaries. Go and give it a listen.
Good stuff. Jocelyn, how about you? Is there any podcast in particular you might recommend to people?
I mean, the one that I listen to quite often that I'm not sure... it's very, very popular, so I'm sure that a lot of people have probably already heard of it, but... I absolutely love Stuff You Should Know because it's fairly short and they do a very good job of just picking a topic, and they're from all kinds of different subject matter, which I find really interesting because a lot of it is stuff that I've either never thought about or never heard about or whatever. And they just present what it is, why you should know about it, and why it's interesting, and take an email, and then they're out. So I really, really enjoy Stuff You Should Know. It's pretty much the only thing I listen to now for a lot of the same reasons as Garrett, is I'm doing a lot of reading and social media and content creation on the like Twitch side of things. And when you're doing a lot of that kind of stuff and you're watching, like I watch a lot of Twitch streams and Twitch streamers to try to figure out what to do, what not to do, that kind of stuff. And listening to podcasts alongside that kind of work, it's not the same as like 10 years ago when I was, you know, digitizing electrical poles and like my eyes were bleeding and I had 8 hours a day to sit and listen to whatever I wanted. I don't have that kind of luxury anymore. But the one I have stuck with after all these years is Stuff You Should Know. I think it's really, really fun.
Awesome. Well, the last question I have for you too takes us into my next segment. And I will let each of you come up with one if you so desire. Garrett, what questions should I ask my next guest?
I would like to know whether they do podcasting for a living or not. If they weren't doing what they are currently doing, what else would they like to do? You know,
all right.
If you weren't doing your current job, what job would you like to have?
Sounds good. How about you, Jocelyn?
Xbox, PlayStation, or Nintendo?
Ooh. No love for the PC Master Race?
No, man. Because
you have to choose.
I am fairly certain that absolutely everybody listening to the sound of my voice would probably pick PC. So I'm just not giving that option. They have to pick a console. It's the console wars.
Hard choice. By the way, do I have to pick one console or one console generation? Because the correct answer is 360.
Ooh. Which technically would be Xbox, right?
Yes.
Yep.
Yeah.
I've been mostly a PlayStation person in like my the last couple of decades, but man, as a kid and growing up, it was always Nintendo.
And they're doing awesome stuff on the Switch right now. Yeah. So, yeah, in terms of, I mean, hardware innovation, nobody beats Nintendo. They always think outside the box and do really cool stuff. And they've got some of my favorite franchises. So if I only was allowed to choose one, then I would probably stick with Nintendo.
All right. Well, guys, thank you for your questions. And since people are hearing this at the end of the year, have a great 2020. Thank you for listening to this part of Yearly Maintenance, and thank you to all of those who support this show as well as Hearth Casual and Rolling Restart by supporting the Realm Maintenance Patreon, which you can find at patreon.com/realmpodcast. If you're a podcaster and have news about your show, or a promo to send in, or if you're a listener with questions about Blizzard games or podcasts for those games, send those emails to realmpodcast@gmail.com. As you may have heard recently, Realm Maintenance is now part of Warcraft Radio. You can go to warcraftradio.com to find the home for this show, as well as the weekly podcast roundup and show pages for Rolling Restart and Hearth Casual. You can follow this show on Twitter @RealmPodcast or follow myself @BrianPodcaster. Realm Maintenance will be on hiatus until its first monthly episode of 2020, which you'll be able to hear on January 28th, but Yearly Maintenance continues tomorrow with the final part of this series. Until then, I've been Ro, you've been you, and Realm Maintenance has been completed. This podcast has been a presentation of Realm Maintenance Productions, copyright 2019, and is part of Warcraft Radio. You can find more great shows at warcraftradio.com. Certain audio portions of this podcast belong entirely to Blizzard Entertainment, and no copyright infringement is intended. The show's theme music is a cover of Call to Arms by Emma Fox. Thanks once again to all of our guests in 2019 for being on the show. Thank you for your interest, your retweets, and your downloads of this show and others in the Blizzard podcasting community. And as always, thanks for listening.
This has been a presentation of Realm Maintenance Productions and Warcraft Radio. Visit warcraftradio.com to find podcasts like this one, live streams, and much more.